Down back of the net for Shabbat. Got it up on the wing, not out. Kept alive with one chance. Riley with a shot. Oh, he had the top corner and missed. And the final buzzer will end as Morgan Riley had a chance to tie the game.
Morgan Riley coming up just short, much like the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick here with you for Leafs Nation postgame. 3-2 is the final. The Leafs falling to 1-1 on this season. Gord, I was about to say that's like a tale of two games. That was a tale of 15 games. It felt like there was momentum swings and just different paces of play. You had two goaltenders for the Leafs, which is something we didn't want to see tonight because, generally speaking, it's not good news when you have both goalies in there. What was your kind of big biggest takeaway or just kind of first reaction from a 3-2 Leafs loss?
Well, you're right about the first. We'll find out more from Sheldon Keefe about Peter Mrazek. That you don't like to see. My first one, what a third period. Let's just leave it at that. Like, let's just say about entertainment value, regular season going. I felt happy for those poor Toronto fans. Keep in mind, they would have just found out last week that you're going to open up the arena. And that's part of why in Toronto, you know, it's not full sellouts, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a short period of time to get basically a full house, but they make the trek down there. What a horrible night for them. And then the third period, this is what this Toronto Maple Leaf team can be. I mean, that's my takeaway, that this was just a fun, exciting, entertaining. You saw all the skill, and that's a 20 periods that you want to bottle and try to get that as much as you can during the regular season, then especially down the road in the playoffs. So they came back from a 3-0 deficit. You know, Joe and Jim always articulate things quite well. At the end, they dug themselves a deep hole, down 3-0 after one period of play. They had some unfortunate bounces, but they had some terrible, terrible giveaways. And, you know, some of the new players were guilty of that. Pierre Engvall, big time. Jake Muzzin, you know, on and on and on that way. And I will throw one in because, you know, I don't like this. One of the things I enjoyed as a teenager was reffing. I really enjoyed it. It was a good way to make some pocket money, two-man system. And
you get to be in charge. That's always nice.
Got to be in charge. You know, so I empathize with those guys. But, I mean, Mitch Dunning's the new referee, Francis Chiron, not sure who called what. Guys, you are brutal. You are brutal. And, you know, you can't, you know, one-goal games like this, just like last night, that was a terrible call in the Leafs' favor against Josh Anderson of Montreal. So it's not siding with one team or the other. But, I mean, here we got a great period like that, and the inconsistency by the officiating was like the Toronto Maple Leafs play was in the first period.
Yeah, there was the trip on Justin Hall as well. I mean, we can go on and on and on. There was a quick whistle on another Leafs opportunity. And of course, you know, I'm going to see things that ended up impacting the Leafs negatively, but there was just no consistency whatsoever on either side for the whistle. I mean, Sheldon Keefe's steaming mad, of course.
I think he even swore.
I think he might have swore. We want to hear from you guys tonight. 590, 590 is the text line. Please include
keep it clean, though.
Your name. Yeah, keep it clean. I mean, well, I can censor it, but, you know, my feelings, you know, I want to keep them intact. You know, John Tavares gets called for the hook right at the end there. And, you know, you made the comment to me that you like seeing that kind of emotion, that almost animosity out of him. And, you know, again, you have to pace yourself. You cannot play like it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final every single night. But it was nice to see that pushback and that anger from him. And, you know, it's just you'd like to see a little bit of that a little more.
Yeah, decades ago, before my time, there was a guy named Gentleman Joe Primo, who was a Hall of Famer. And John Tavares just reminds me sometimes a little too gentlemanly. I wish he got pissed a little bit more often. So I was glad he did. I mean, the Maple Leafs got 48 shots on goal. Like, it just was, there were snippets of this that were just like, wow. And that's what this team can be. Now, again, I'll give them full marks coming back, making a game out of this. And for a while, it really looked like, you know, they were on the verge of tying it up. They kept the pressure going. And then right at the end, and it's funny, Morgan Riley, it's almost like it was too good initially, so he took the extra few seconds he had because it was so wide open. Like, it wasn't right in front of that. But to really, really hone in and try to get that corner that was there, and, you know, quite often that extra steamboat or two ends up doing yourself a disservice. But I like the fact, I mean, William Nylander played great. Like Andre Kasha, Pierre Engvall, some of the newer guys, I thought, had some struggles, had some whatever it was, giveaways. It was things like giveaways. But then the skill guys got going, and it was fun to watch. And Jason Spezza, Boy, Sam McKee, we're going to give it to him later on. Jason Spezza had the audacity yesterday to question Jason Spezza's play.
You beat me to it. I was in here. You would have thought I was Jason Spezza's dad. I'm way too young for that. He could maybe
potentially. I could be it.
You could. I could potentially be Jason Spezza's son. Not really, but he is out there and he's just making a play on every single Leafs goal, and he almost is the guy. He's the one who wins a puck battle on the board, fires the puck over to Morgan Rielly and gives him that chance at the tail end. He sets up the Nylander goal. He scores the goal himself to give them some life. The thing about Spezza that I could not believe on the first goal, the one he scored, look, everyone in the NHL right now should know Jason Spezza is either going to fake a slap shot or he's going to take one. One of those two things is going to happen.
Don't tell everyone.
I won't tell anyone.
Okay.
But in Ottawa, you'd think, like, again, I know, like, we're supposed to keep it a secret
here. He used to play there.
You would think if anybody would have the book on Jason Spezza.
It was a while ago, though.
Okay, this is a good point. It was a little while ago.
They're a young team.
How many times are we going to see this from him before somebody catches up? I hope many, many more.
Okay, so, for example, Jason Spezza at least scored 2 goals. He gets a goal and assist. I don't know if you know that, Brent, but that's the maximum points you can get when you score 2 goals. 3 shots, which is also quite nice. He played 13 minutes, 19 seconds. That's almost half what Mitch Marner played. Marner played 24-20, so it's a little bit more than half. And I'm not actually pinning because Marner was going great guns in the third period, especially as well. But Jason Spezza is that fourth liner that, again, we talk about it. We love that fight against Boone Jenner. It was not going to win them the series, but he just went down fighting. Okay. We always like, so here it's a different role. It's kind of like, you know, good on Sheldon Keefe. We like when he stacked the 3 guys together a couple of times, Tavares, Nylander and Marner, you know, had that power line going one time, especially it was especially strong and worked well. And then other things like saying, okay, I got to get Jason Spezza more involved. And he, in the third period, he gets it going, and it was addictive. This was a team that was going on all, full throttle in the third period.
Yeah. And if we're going to highlight Jason Spezza, I should probably highlight the guy who, you know, for my money might've been the best Leaf on the ice tonight. It was William Nylander. I mean, the guy's been shot out of a cannon to start the season. He doesn't look like a different player because we saw flashes of this. I mean, he was kind of this guy in the playoffs last year, but it's just, you know, it further proves, and look, the depth of the Leafs is going to be a topic at play this season in terms of what the bottom of the lineup looks like right now. But with there really only being one top 6 center on the team, and that's John Tavares, William Nylander doesn't get to play with them. And he is still acquitting himself just fine, even without having one of the 2 big centers with him. And I know he gets the little bit of time here and there, but realistically, it's him driving that line.
And it's interesting. He's in season number 7, you know, and we don't think of him as one of the leaders so much on the team. I really don't know the young guys. I still think Morgan Rielly of the young guys is the best leader. I'm not in the dressing room. I don't know. But, you know, In Nylander's case, I mean, he does have an A, but in Nylander's case, it's like early on, there was this, he kind of went up and down, right? And then he got hurt with the Marlies and whatever. There was the questions. And then he was the guy that Mike Babcock always wanted to be on his ass, except Willie Nylander. Nobody's on his ass, okay? Like he's one of those guys, okay, you do all you want, right? So it was kind of interesting there because there was that little dance that way that he really didn't care that Mike Babcock was his big coach and whatever. So went there. Then there was a contract, which like caught us all by surprise, and it still did because when John Tavares signed on July 1st, Kyle Dubas said this, and John Tavares, he said, want to make clear that, you know, again, I'm revisiting this, but all the contracts, everything was fine. Well, I thought everything was fine and it was anything but. So anyway, so it goes on and then comes back and then there becomes that, you know, he didn't have a great finish when he didn't sign till the 11th hour. And then after that, he was streaky,
yep.
You know, and then I don't think people gave him as enough props that the last year in particular and last playoff and really the second half of the season before, he's been great. He's been as consistent of those big 4 guys as any of them are. Like he really has full blossom. And that contract is actually really good value now. That contract that was so maligned is actually really good value.
Yeah, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but you can.
I will.
You will? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I don't even know the rabbit hole, but I'll go down.
You'll go down it. You're game for anything. You can make the argument that that's the best of the big 4 contracts. I mean, I think the Matthews one is because he's the best player far and away. But I mean, given the kind of dollar per value and what he's been, especially going back to the playoffs, I think you can make the case that's the best kind of value of those 4 big contracts.
Well, the Matthews one, I go back to the 5-year term.
Yeah,
it just bugs me. So if it was a 7, I'd say, yeah. But anyway, it's just, and the thing is, all those guys, none of them are Jeff Skinner contracts, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And I know Skinner's family lives here. I like, you know, the guy listens to his uncle run into him a lot. I ran into him once. And anyway, but just, yeah, I don't know what the heck's happened to him in Buffalo. But I mean, that's a real tough one.
Buffalo happened to him, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know which the chicken, egg chicken. Okay, I don't know what it may be. Carolina wasn't making the playoffs when he was there either. So point being is like a dog contract's terrible when the player just has lost it as well. So all these guys are exceptionally skilled players. And there's no argument about that. The big four in Toronto.
Yep, that's true. You know, in terms of maybe the most worrying thing tonight, it has to go to, again, and the Muzzin pair had a really tough night, especially for what you expect from them. But I think the biggest thing you need to hear out of tonight is that Peter Mrazek's going to be okay, because he was incredible. Jack Campbell kept them in the game. He didn't allow a goal in that period, but Peter Mrazek was truly incredible in the second period. And it would just be, to be perfectly honest, it'd be very Leafsy for him to look like that and get hurt and it just to never kind of go. So I really hope that's not the case, and I hope we see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, ever since David Clarkson left the bench in that exhibition game, right? As far as what I mean is like your first game somewhere, and it doesn't necessarily tar you for life there, but yet sometimes it does. So yeah, let's hope, because he's had some injury woes, some injury battles the last couple of seasons, has had Peter Mrazek. I mean, really, it's hard for a goaltender with all the athleticism and all that's asked of them nowadays to be 100% healthy the entire season. But it's too early for Michael Hutchinson to be the backup again. Okay, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to keep beating on this guy, because he's actually played well at times last year and the year before, but it's just, let's find out what gives.
He's the third goalie for a reason. We're happy that he's the third guy, but as a backup, a little less so. You know, you mentioned the kind of the difference in the way this team has been, and you know, we've seen different iterations of this team. We've been wondering what's happened, but honestly, this group, the way this game started, and the fact that they dug themselves the hole and then played 10 minutes of great hockey. I mean, they played okay in the second period, but play a tremendous third period of hockey, and it doesn't feel like these Sheldon Keefe Leafs teams we've watched. Honestly, to me, it felt like some of the Babcock teams in terms of the, let's just try to play 13 minutes and go win the game that way, as opposed to giving it a full 60 minutes. And I know they're trying, but in terms of the what you're outputting, it just seems to me like this looked a lot more like Babcock Leafs than Keefe Leafs.
Yeah, you know, so Sheldon Keefe, when he took over, I still can't believe the hole that the Leafs got themselves out of. Now, the season didn't finish, and they were starting to get in a hole again at the end. They might not have made the playoffs. They were in a playoff spot, and they were playing the way they did against Columbus when they came out of the bubble. But initially, remember Sheldon Keefe, the team played the never give the puck. It almost looked like the old Soviet Union hockey team of the 70s. It was almost ridiculous, but except they were on a ridiculous run, like 16-2-2 or something in 20 games. So they were never giving up the puck. And then that part changed. And then, because these seasons have been fractured, you know, like that, it's, last year, so there was no training camp last year. I like what I saw on the ice of the team. And I think maybe because the playoffs, again, you put so much emphasis on it, and really ultimately that was going to be what Mike Babcock was going to be judged on. And he didn't get to that final playoff I think there's a work in progress when you talk about a Sheldon Keefe team. I'm just, you know, thinking aloud here. It's not a criticism at all. It's just about, you know, putting an identity, and maybe that's part of it, that because it lacks in the playoffs, you're trying to find a tweak to that identity.
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. I'm not making it out to be a criticism of Keefe per se. It's just it's amazing how this group can kind of go back to habits that are not 2 years old, not 3 years old, but are almost 4 years old now tonight. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Brent Gunning. You're listening to the Leaf Station post game on Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Leaf Station postgame here, Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me. Now, you know, I'm learning the ropes here. I have a wonderful person to learn them from in producer Sam McKee. You're here as well, Gord Stellick. That's a little shot.
What about Andrew Dice?
Andrew Dutch Holland, he is so far above me on the totem pole that we don't even bring him in. But I did not realize that part of doing the games here in studio is after a loss, we get to relive it and watch all the highlights while we do it. It's quite the quite jarring to get to relive what we just witnessed here. As somebody who was a part of what we just witnessed was Leafs forward Jason Spezza. Let's hear from him, the best Leaf on the ice tonight.
Yeah, they They pushed the pace and for flipping a lot of pucks out, and I think we weren't getting a good enough forecheck to begin, giving them too much time to make plays, and then we weren't breaking out clean, and that led to us kind of chasing the game. Yeah, we knew if we got one, we'd probably get two and make it interesting. You know, the teams generally sit back once you get a couple and tighten up a little bit. So, you know, just wanted to get a goal there on the power play. Unfortunate that we got the call there against us, so we're coming back on the power play. But, at that point, you're just trying to gain some momentum, and, you know, the goalie played well. And to get one by him, I think it opened the gates a little bit.
What do you take out of this game?
Yeah, I think we just learned from it. I think we learned how they really blew the zone, pushed us back. I think we were a little bit caught in between early in the game. So that's something that, Kiefer does a good job of looking at and going over. We'll be very prepared for the next game against these guys, and looking forward to playing them. Yeah, it's early in the year, so let's not make something too big of a deal, but you want to find your identity as a team, and obviously we've had two slow starts here, two games in a row, so it's going to be something we'll talk about. We'll take tomorrow to rest because, we got to get rest after playing back-to-back to start, but it'll be definitely a theme going into next game and something we don't want to make a habit of, starting slow, but it is something that will be addressed and we'll talk about and we'll move forward.
Jason, you've had two rivalry games back-to-back with full-packed crowds. Have you guys had a second to kind of appreciate fans like that?
Yeah, it's great to play in front of the full buildings again. It gives you that extra juice. It brings the passion out in the games, and the fans are an amazing part of our sport, so it's great to have them back in the building.
How do you describe the struggle when you're dealing with officiating that, some calls you don't like, it's all when you talk into the ref at the end of the first, his calling?
You just talk with them, you work with them. I think we've matured a lot in that area last year, where we've gained a lot more respect from the refs, and you just work with them. You talk to them, you explain why you think it wasn't a call. Sometimes you yell at them and it gets heated, but they're pros too, and as long as you can have cooler heads prevail and talk it over after, you're not going to agree with all the calls, but it's important that as a team, I think we've matured a lot in that area, and we're going to continue maturing. We respect the refs, it's a tough job to do, but sometimes you disagree with calls. Yeah, and I think it's working with them after. I think in the heat of the battle, we're all guilty of yelling, and sometimes the refs yell back, and it's part of the game. It's actually a great part of the ref-player relationship that goes on in hockey. But then you work with them after, you talk with them. They're good guys. They're trying to do their job. Yeah, I'm not sure what Petey's status is. Sucks to see him come out of the game. He played really well for us. Soupy's obviously been a rock for us every time he goes in there. We got tons of confidence in him, and we would like to have given Petey a better start to allow him to have a better game, but that's on us, not him.
There is Leafs forward Jason Spezza, and yeah, I don't know that you can blame Peter Mrazek for too much went on early on, and you definitely can't blame him for anything in that second period. Vet move by the reporter, just trying to get any info about Mrazek, but I don't know. It feels like that's going to be a waiting game. We'll wait and see. Now we got to bring on our producer Sam McKee. Now he was, sometimes I like to leave a little room for there's differences in opinion. He was just wrong last night, coming on here and disparaging borderline Leafs legend Jason Spezza.
Libel.
That's right. That slander. Is get one of the lawyers on the line. There's a few of them around now. McKee,
yes.
Would you like to apologize after the 1-1 from Jason Spezza tonight? How would you like to address your misdeeds yesterday?
I thought the difference between Jason Spezza of last night and Jason Spezza tonight was just amazing. I didn't think he looked anything like he's looked in blue and white at all last night. And I had to say something. I had to be a good journalist, fellas.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to say something. I had to bring it up. And then he bounces back in a big way. The old man on the back-to-back looking great tonight. So I think they always ask Spezza about the, players, if they're hurt or not, because he's the closest thing to a coach. So they always ask him, seeing if they can get a little information. They asked him about Marner after practice, too, when he got hurt. So they're trying to get the little the next coach going there, fellas.
Yeah, Sam's handle is Chicken Little. The sky's falling down. So, that's what last night, one game quickly all over that. Here's the fun fact. Okay, who was the most upset person named Pierre in what period? So period number one, Engvall, and period number three, Dorion and Maguire sitting side by side.
That is that's a great question.
Yeah, that is a bad marriage looking. Like, that's a forced marriage, those two. Like, you know, like Dorian knows that McGuire's going to, you know, McGuire, he's angling for the big job down the road.
Honestly, now that Kachuk's been signed, it almost feels like it's like, okay, now I can breathe easy. But if I wasn't able to get this thing across the finish line, the other Pierre is coming in. You're right. I didn't even think that the two of them share the same name. McKee, I know I've been asking for text tonight as well. 590, 590 on the text line. Are people upset? Are people somewhat reasoned after two games and the Leafs splitting them? Where are we at?
Well, I mean, you thought I was Chicken Little. There's a couple on here I'll save for maybe later in the year when they're a little more reasonable. But this one's just about talking about Pierre. It says, unfortunate Engvall comes off arguably the best performance of his career last night and comes out tonight as a completely different guy, Hugo from Barrie. And hasn't that been the story of Pierre Engvall for his whole time in Toronto Maple Leaf land here? Two nights in a row, you know, one night amazing, the second night a contributor to a goal on a turnover and just not himself. So that's a good text from Hugo and Barrie.
Yeah, I said it's the best of times, the worst of times. There's two games so far, the Pierre Engvall saga. What bugged me tonight, it was a man like...
Or War and Peace. That could be another good one.
But it was a flat-out mental brain cramp. And, you know, he was like 1 foot from getting the puck. He had the puck 1 foot from getting out of their own zone and said, where's the most dangerous place I can put it? Did that successfully. Whereas, you know, I liked his play. I liked his effort, you know, crashing, burning, coming up with the puck and that. And after that, he struggled. He struggled because that it was, you know, mental things are inexcusable in the NHL. I know they still happen. Other things, mistakes can happen and that just, and he was the best player maybe last night and that just set the tone for not a great game from tonight.
I honestly think if he would have shot it at Mrazek, it wouldn't have been as bad a play as it was just throwing it in the middle to walk in.
No, you're right.
And again, we talked about it with Justin Bourne after the game last night that Engvall was going forwards and then he stopped. And he skated a little bit back into his own zone. And it's like the second he started or stopped going the right way, he makes the brain cramp. And you're right, it's going to happen. But I think the important thing, and that different players have shown the ability to do that he hasn't yet, and a lot of young players or players early in their career struggle with this, is, okay, forget about it. I made the mistake. You can feel Sheldon Keefe staring daggers at you the entire time. You probably hear him. You saw him yelling at the ref. He's probably yelling at Engvall too. And you need to find a way to just kind of flush it and move on and play your game. And I think Engvall, maybe more so than a lot of other players, kind of struggles with that aspect of it, with moving on after the mistake.
Well, it's, you know, you go back to, I agree with you. But first, it doesn't matter what level you're coaching. There's this old thing, 1 foot from the blue line, not getting out. It comes back so many times.
Yep.
And I mean, this one, we're talking when they check you normally, not when you give it away. And then we also thought that it could have got, you know, because Joe Bowen was kind of I think it's Jimmy Ralph had the line kind of, Sheldon Keefe's so mad he's not going to video review it because he wants Pierre Engvall to wear this particular goal. But it was worthy of, and I'm the one that agreed with the Chandler Stephenson call based on what my understanding is the NHL criteria, that to me, you almost got to look like a field goal kicker or punter to have the goal not count, but it was certainly worth stalling the face off a little bit more. I don't know what the heck, you know, someone skated quickly. Like, you know, you can massage that and take another 15, 20 seconds, you know, to just get Montoya to do it, or someone like Charlie Montoya, he does with the Jays, right? Hand up there. So and Joe and Jim also mentioned that.
Yep. I noticed it as well. McKee?
It's early in the game, right? Like the worst thing it's going to happen is you're going to go on the penalty kill. How long into the game? I don't know. I thought that was weird. Non-challenge too. All right. Here's another good text.
Well, quickly on the no challenge thing. The one thing I will say, and who knows, I mean, like I'm sure Keith will get asked about it, but I think the thinking into it too was, If my team can't dig themselves, I'd rather them dig themselves out of a 1-0 hole than have a 2-0 hole after giving up the penalty. And if you can't dig yourself out of a 1-0 hole 8 minutes into the game against the Sens, what are we doing here?
But that's a defeatist attitude, because you're going to kill a penalty. You know, you got a chance. You know,
okay. There we go. I like it, Gord.
All perspectives, fellas. All right. So I thought this is a pretty good way to sum up the game here. Short, brutal periods by the Leafs, surrounded by some outstanding hockey. Good comeback, just felt short. DB in London. Thanks for the text.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. But like, you take the good. Do not flush the good away. Do not say, oh, that third period didn't matter. Oh, the second period for Mrazek didn't matter. Take it. But the problem is if you want to be a team who, you know, in the old school of doing playoffs, if you're kind of one of these middling 6 to 10 teams and you're fighting for a playoff spot, those teams can do that. and they can say, look at the positives and look at the good we found. But if you want to consider yourself a cup contender or a team that can win around, you every team will have little moments like this, but they just can't be this many and they can't be this often.
DB, is that Doobie's voice?
Might be.
That's what it sounds for. Yeah, could be. A little code that way.
Yeah.
Again, you know, you look at the St. Louis Blues a couple of years ago winning a Stanley Cup, and it came down to getting a goaltender and picking a song named Gloria when they were watching a Super Bowl on the road in Philadelphia and you know, rallying behind that. It's a long, long, long regular season, but, you know, you're right. We always have to keep it in context, but you're right about that. All those elements, good, bad, and different, come into play. Just more good has to come in compared to bad and indifferent.
This is a great one. I can hear the ghost of Mike Babcock saying, start on time, Mark from Burlington.
So I'm just trying to think of what, ooh, sounds like, you know, your Saskatchewan accent. Yeah, there it is. You nailed it. We might need to clip that for the ghost of Mike Babcock. Can you just give it to us clean here, McKee, again?
Ooh.
Perfect. Because you're right. I mean, it's become kind of a joke in the fan base of, oh, the only one who starts on time is Martina half of the time. And okay, maybe that's just my joke that I love to make, but it's true that again, there is nothing wrong with having a team that's so good that you can dig yourself out of holes. It's a great attribute to have. But you know what's better than doing that is being up 2-0 and learning how to protect a lead as opposed to have to come from behind all the time. It's two games. This is not some death knell to say this team will never start on time. But if they wanted to start on time on Saturday, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, certain guys like, you know, Jerry Howarth, who did such a great job there, really impersonated. I'm trying to think the big impersonated ones, and Babcock gets a fair number, and it's right. He just kind of had that mantra quite a bit. You always knew. And so far the Leafs are 0-2 in that. You know, maybe if they had disdain for Mike Babcock, they decided it's going to carry
we'll
on.
Never the start on yeah, time, just despite this
the post Mike Babcock era. Yeah. It was you know, the one, just like there were so many games within the games tonight. And, you know, some were horrible. The end of it was phenomenal. That was just a very entertaining third period. The result was unsatisfactory. The comeback, you at least showed something, you know, rather than like a 5-0 loss to Ottawa on the road is, you know, again, same thing. You get
could
zero,
have been 8-0 in that yeah, second period. Yeah.
You get 0 points, and you get 0 points even when you come back and lose by one. But I did like that attempt. I did like the skill players showing their skill.
So one thing that I do wonder, and it's about the kind of, you know, the ability to generate momentum and that stuff. And, you know, we give Zach Hyman so much credit for everything he did for this team in his Leafs tenure, and because he deserved it. And how much of it is that? Not having, there are guys who are trying to replicate it. Michael Bunting's trying to do stuff. And you've got Camp, who's giving you a completely different look on that third line. But I don't know that you just have that ball of energy and determination like you had in Hyman. And how much of it do you think is that? That it's just you don't have that guy in the lineup, and it's hard, and that's what's leading to these kind of longer spells of rough hockey?
Oh, I don't know. It's not one, but not one player different, but I get what you mean. He seemed to be the stabilizer. He seemed,
like if you had Wayne Simmons of 7 years ago when he's in there running around and you're able to get the big forecheck going and that kind of thing, it just feels like you can have that kind of momentum swilling thing.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't have to be just the, like Wayne Simmons 7 years ago is a real imposing physical force. I mean, Zach Hyman just to me was the consistency went out there and how hard he worked. And yeah, you know, can you have a couple of bad shifts, and it seemed when he was out there, he turned that around. And that's, you know, and that's one thing you're looking from these new guys in different ways to do that. But I gotta say, we go back to not looking further above Vidi Rapio or the first goal. Mm-hmm. We talk about the third goal in the first period, Andre Kasha, like, you know, how was nobody, he wasn't aware that there were seconds left, right? Seconds left. So you got to be aware of the clock. So he gets the puck, and then he quickly fires it to the blue line, which really, if there's 3 seconds left, you can stick handle, which there was. There's mm-hmm. 3 seconds left. You can stick handle anywhere. Instead, it's a brutal giveaway, and Ottawa scores with less than a second left. Then we said later on, there's a time just when the Leafs killed the penalty, and I forget who it was, flicked an icing and said, why is no one yelling, banging the stick that the player, yep. I think, was it Simmons? Anyway, coming out of the penalty box, like, you got a great chance, because when you've stolen the puck that way and the player's just coming out, you got a great chance to hit the player, and they were oblivious to it. You know, so there were kind of a, you know, few of those that, those are the little details that are big details.
Yeah, so I just got one more good text here about somebody we haven't really talked about so far. Nick Ritchie needs to know that the preseason is over. He has just been blah these first two games. That's from Don and Osgood. Thoughts, fellas?
I've been lukewarm with my expectations for Richie, and I feel like he's kind of lived up to them. He's had a few little plays. It just feels to me like for him in the top six, he's just got to be so smart about the way he moves around, because he's a lumbering figure out there. It takes him a little longer to get places, and I think that if his reads are a little off, it can put him a lot out of position. But again, we should be talking about Nick Ritchie being the third best player on whatever line he's going to be on, if he's going to be on one of those top six lines. So I think that, yeah, you'd like to see a little more from him, but that line not going isn't about Nick Ritchie for me.
Yeah, I see on the phone, hey, Austin, when are you coming back? Are you coming back? When are you coming back? I mean, because we seem to think he's going to be ticketed to play with Austin Matthews, but yep. Exhibition, I discounted a ton, as in the real season. He's had two very ordinary games. He had a real strong exhibition. I hope that has helped him get acclimated in the big picture.
Yeah, and the thing is if he was a guy who didn't have ordinary games from time to time, he'd be making five, not $2.5 million a year.
Great point, Gunner.
Thank you for that, producer Sam McKee. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Brent Gunning, and you're listening to a Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Leafs Nation postgame. Leafs falling to 1-1 on the season after a 3-2 loss to the Ottawa Senators. Joining us now from Ottawa, Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing better than Peter Mrazek's groin, that's for sure.
Okay, so you let us into exactly what we wanted to know about. What is the latest of updates on Peter Mrazek after he had to leave the game after the second period?
Yeah, well, the update is no update. There's no further clarification on the severity of the groin injury, according to Sheldon Keefe. So, and the Leafs are off tomorrow, so we might not know till Saturday morning just how serious this is. But Jack Campbell said that, he saw the play, and he said it looked similar to the play where he suffered a lower body injury in Calgary last year. And Mrazek kind of gave him a nod and said, you might be going in. So the good news is that Campbell went in and played fine, didn't allow a goal. But the whole point of getting two goalies was to hopefully provide some rest over the 82-game haul. And here we are. Jack Campbell might see action in 3 out of 4 nights. It's a tough start.
Well, Ottawa fans know about the nagging groin of Dominic Hasek when he never came back from the Olympics to be able to play for a real good team way, way, way back when. So we'll worry about the groin, find out more later. Luke, how did you enjoy your 8 games in 1 tonight?
Yeah. Someone said it was a tale of two games, but you're right, Gord. I think it was more than two. It was fun. I mean, it was sloppy and it was chaotic and there was a lot going on, but the building in terms of the atmosphere of the Sens fans, and of course there's always a good portion of Leaf fans here, it was rocking. It was much louder than Scotiabank was last night for the Leafs home opener. And I think, the fact that they signed their franchise forward there, Brady Tkachuk, earlier today, added a little bit of energy for the locals. And he arrived in time for the first TV intermission, and they put him up on the Jumbotron, and he did his little goal shimmy. And the place was rocking. And, it was a fun hockey game, sloppy, but I think there ended up being almost 85 shots. Mrazek, after a few deflections got by him and some bad giveaways on the Leafs' part, he settled down and actually played really strong in the second period. And Forsberg, my goodness, he had a heck of a performance. So it was a fun hockey game and great atmosphere.
Yeah, the third period was incredible. It was real track meet stuff. Jason Spezza has been amazing this season, but I think it's a problem that when I'm listing impactful Leafs through two games of the season, that he is really quick coming off the tip of my tongue. I don't know that I can give you a handful of guys that have mattered more than he has through the first two games. I mean, obviously it's great that he's performing this way, but it feels like, and I can't believe I'm saying this about Jason Spezza, but he's going to need some help.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, William Nylander's been their best player, I would say.
Agreed.
Him and Jack Campbell. Campbell's been excellent. But, only two games, but Nick Ritchie better pick it up, right? They gave him that prime spot playing with Tavares and Marner to kick off the season. He threw a couple checks. I know he went to the crease a couple times and tried to provide screens, but I need to see more from that guy in particular. Michael Bunting, I like how he's not afraid to go to those dirty areas, but, you know, look, this guy's not a superstar. And this is what we're seeing, right, with the Mikheyev injury, with the Matthews injury. Marner, I don't know. He doesn't seem to be absolutely 100% on his game right now. You know, it's only two games. I don't want to throw too much shade his way. But we're seeing the forwards, that depth, get exposed. You know, they already lost Adam Brooks on waivers. Michael Amadio is not making an impact here, guys. So they need to start picking it up. You know, they haven't been dominant at all.
You know, I like an ornery John Tavares, and he was that tonight. And partially, you know, the officiating, man, it's got to pick it up too. And I'm not saying pro Leaf style as well. They're just go back to the Josh Anderson call last night. Just very inconsistent calls at critical times.
Yeah, and you know what? I think early in the going, the players aren't always up to speed on their systems, and I think maybe we could say the same for the officiating in terms of the consistency. You'd like to think that they find their stride, but Sheldon Keefe did not hold back post game. He said, you know, I got the memo about the cross down on cross checking, but he's like, I seem to miss the memo about the crackdown on stick lifting. And Tavares said that last call was brutal. And John is rarely one to criticize the officials. I mean, you know, they qualify it and say they have a hard job to do, but it was no secret that the Leafs weren't happy with the standard that was struck tonight. You know, I don't want to lean on the stripes too hard, and it is only two games, but there was some inconsistency tonight. But, you know, good teams make it so that doesn't matter, right? You dig yourself in a 3-0 hole, it's hard to put too much blame on the officials. I think you got to blame the turnovers in your own end.
Yep, you nailed it, Luke. We can sit here after the game and be frustrated at the way it was officiated, but the Leafs didn't lose that game because of the refs. They lost that game because of the way they started it. Luke, really, really enjoying your stuff, and thanks so much for jumping on with us tonight. Thanks, bud.
All right, have a great night, guys.
There he goes, Luke Fox, Sportsnet.ca. Follow him on Twitter at Luke Fox Jukebox there. Officiating is always, always, always going to be at the front of minds, and it sure was at the front of minds in Sheldon Keefe's post-game availability. Let's hear from the Leafs head coach now.
I don't put this start even remotely in the same category as yesterday's start. I mean, yesterday's start, we gave up grade A scoring chances and odd man rushes and all of that. I don't see it that way at all for us in terms of our start. You know, they're out shooting us early on, but I think they had 6 point shots out of their first 7 shots, so nothing dangerous. You know, we gifted them a goal, you know, so we make that big mistake, and then they get a power play goal that, you know, they wrist one in from the point like we did 50 times tonight, but they one hits a body and goes in 2-0, and then we give them another gift at the end of the period. So I don't put this in the same category in terms of our start, but it certainly wasn't the type of period that we wanted in terms of gifting them goals. And then we had a real strong push towards the end of the first period, lots of chances to score ourselves, and their goaltender was great, but I don't put this in the same category as yesterday in terms of our start. I don't have an update at all other than that he was unable to finish the game tonight. Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously, as we know, Pierre had, you know, was a star for us last night. And it's tough to do on back-to-back nights. It's tough to find that level of consistency in a game. And you know, that's a tough play by Pierre there, but he has a lot of game left. Got to be able to bounce back from it. I thought we had a lot of guys today that just, you know, didn't have as much gas in the tank here today as they had yesterday. I mean, I got to watch it back, you know, but like I said, it's two different starts for me. I mean, we're giving up point blank chances yesterday in the start. Today we didn't give up anything, you know, like point shots and some time in our zone. We didn't break out well. But, you know, that's a strong forechecking team that's fresh playing in their home opener. They're going to have a little bit of a push there, but
I didn't feel like we weren't in the game or anything like that from the start. That wasn't the case tonight. You guys should watch it back. I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, I thought the biggest thing was they just got some confidence. You know, we won a faceoff in that first power play, the third period, won the faceoff, had the puck a ton. Those guys spent a lot of time in zone, so it was a confidence thing. You know, whatever it was, a minute 45 or whatever it was, you know, leading up to that first goal. So they got some confidence, got rolling with it. You know, the power play was disrupted a fair bit with having a breakout consistently, go 200 feet early in the game, and then, you know, get some confidence going, and that helps. It goes a long way. So that was the difference for us there. I just got to find his game. I mean, he's adjusting. Everybody's adjusting. Like, you know, we play preseason hockey and all that, but this is a different beast, you know. So you're finding your way, you know, coming from preseason hockey into this hockey where it's quicker, it's more competitive. You know, your chances are harder to come by. But, you know, he's been in the league a long time. He'll figure that out. Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously they've seen the memos on the cross checks, and the guys are well aware of that, and they're adjusting to that. But I haven't seen the memos on being able to lift guys' sticks. I think that's new. So, you know, I don't think that's going to be the standard going forward. But you know, it's early in the season for everybody. One more time. Yeah, I think those guys have had good shifts. You know, we didn't have a lot happening for us offensively there, and I also knew we were getting low in terms of our energy level. That second period, we played tired a lot. So I thought, you know, an effort to sort of try to spark something, try to get a goal, try to get those guys playing together. I thought they gave us great shifts, and then that chemistry, I think, thought carried over to the power play as well.
Yeah, we mentioned it. You and I, Gord, both fans of Keith picking his spots and loading up the big line, whether it's with Austin Matthews or, of course, with him not in the lineup. John Tavares centering Nylander and Marner there. And I guess good on Sheldon Keefe for being able to find a little humor in that at the end of the game, his little line about the officiating there. That was good. But, yeah, definitely, you know, a frustrated man after that loss.
Yeah, and mentioned that it was a better start at comparing things. But, yeah, just probably a few more things. Not going right now after two games, but it's early. He's got perspective, and it's a little bit emotional. Like I said, this was kind of a fun game. It was kind of the best of times, the worst of times. You had the stat there. What Ottawa 7-1-0
in their last 8 home openers that have come against the Leafs. Whatever it is, the Leafs, anytime they're in town, it's the Sens Stanley Cup final.
Okay, whoever helps coordinate the schedule for the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? Hello? Next year, whatever input you can give about dates, please do not start in Ottawa.
That's right. Start flexing some muscle. Flexing some muscle tonight for us. Producer Sam McKee, Andrew Dutch Holland on the board. Thanks so much. Gord Stellick, Brent Gunning here with you. It's been a pleasure. This has been Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. We're back on Saturday.
You're too sick to work, and your employer threatens to fire you because your claim for long-term disability